then with that in place then to develop budgets, you know, to be able to support what had to be done and having the reserve in hand, you know, if things got off track a little bit, well, we could buy our way back on. We had about $1 billion, I think, at the peak of the program in reserve that we could use, you know, to make sure everything was
okay,
working. I would say some of the real crisis things that I remember, I can't even remember exactly the year, but it must have been around 1960. I would say 1965 to 1967. I'm sorry, I can't be more
specific. Okay.
We had a major problem out at North American.
The S-2 stage.
The S-2. And the Apollo spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
In that one year, whatever year that was, and if it's important to you, I could probably dig back through some files.
Oh, I could do that, yes.
We had major budget problems out there, and we had to make major program adjustments to put more resources into both the Apollo spacecraft and into the S-2 stage and get that back on track. That of course was a very momentous job.
Mm-hmm.
Another major thing that stands out in my mind, one that I think came about as near to causing us to miss the deadline for the Apollo landing, you know, the lunar landing, was when the Apollo spacecraft was weighing much more than it was supposed to weigh. We had to make a decision, NASA had to make a decision as to whether to try to take weight out of the spacecraft. And, of course, that would have been unbelievably huge job. Or to get more lift capability out of the launch vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Von Braun voluntarily agreed to get more performance out of the launch vehicle. So we had to go in and shave weight out of the S1C stage, S2, and S4B stages, but the bulk of it came out of the S2 stage.
That's what I remember, yes.
And that really put a tremendous burden on an already complex problem. It was by far the most difficult stage to build of any of the stages, and we added this burden to it, and it almost brought us to our knees.
Mm-hmm.
So that I remember. The other thing that of course stands out is when all this came together at the Cape for the first launch, and to see everything come together, you know, the Apollo spacecraft, the Saturn V launch vehicle, you know, of course, all, including the engines, all of the launch complex equipment, all of the automated checkout system, which we had never used before, come together and operate almost flawlessly. You know, that was just unbelievable. Just a terrific engineering achievement. The other thing that of course, I recall distinctly was the failure that we had on the second flight of the Saturn V.
Oh, yes.
ASI line went out on the second stage, on the J2 engine, the auxiliary spark igniter line, rupture. Because of the pogo problem mentioned a little earlier. We were able to identify exactly what it was that failed because of the instrumentation that was on there. We were able to replicate that on the ground and verify that was the culprit. We fixed it and made a decision to man the next launch vehicle.
Yes, it was Apollo 8. Yes.
That took good. That stands out. I was intimately involved in working that problem with many others.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, naturally the lunar landing, although I had left.
Yes.
But that was significant.
I think everybody remembers where
we
they were on that day.
Yeah, we do.
Huh. Well, good. You've answered my question on that very well. That was a good answer to my question. I did want to ask you, you mentioned one gentleman that still lives in Huntsville. I can interview him. I've been watching the spacecraft films DVD set on the Saturn V. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but...
I'm not sure that I am.
Well, just very briefly, spacecraft films some years ago was founded on the goal of taking from the National Archives every NASA film regarding the individual programs, spacecraft development, or whatever, and converting them digitally, remastering them, and putting them on DVD.
Wow.
You just type in spacecraft films into your search engine, it'll come up. NASA is thrilled with what this company has done. They're based in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
These DVD sets are just awesome. Some of them have 6 and 8 discs in them that cover the entire voice and video transcripts of the entire missions, for example. And they also produce the set for the Saturn V and the Saturn I, which are just superb. These, in turn, go back. Copies are in the National Archives that are essentially a digital history now of the Apollo program, but they also have sets on Gemini and Mercury, as well as other things. But the set on the Saturn V, one of the people that they interviewed was Jim Murphy.
Yeah.
Does he ring a bell?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I know he was working within Dr. Rudolph's office, and I don't know, does he still live in Huntsville?
He's dead.
Oh, he is?
He died about a year ago.
Okay. Okay. Well, then that's why the...
Now, there was another... he was a deputy to Dr. A deputy for management for Dr. Rudolph.
Yes, that's right.
One of my three groups interfaced pretty closely with him on the configuration management. Surprisingly, I didn't have that much, you know, I won't say direct. I did not work through him to Dr. Rudolph. I reported to Dr. Rudolph.
I see, yes.
On any of the meetings, most all the meetings that Dr. Rudolph had. But there was another gentleman, I don't know whether his name came up in that, was Jim Bramlett, B-R-A-M-B-L-E-T.
Jim Bramlett.
He was deputy to Dr. Rudolph for engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is still living, and he is in Texas, somewhere in Texas.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me look at this org chart. Maybe he's on there. Yes, he
James
is.
Bramlett.
Deputy Manager of Operations. There is Jay Bramlett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He is still living. In fact, he was here in Huntsville about a year or two ago, and I had a chance to spend a little time with him. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Because I was going to ask you what other people you might know of I could speak with for this.
You know, so many of the people are not around.
Of course, yes.
Murphy is deceased, Erlob.
I am going to be speaking with Sonny Maria.
Okay, good. Now, there's a man you want to talk to on the F1 engine.
Sure do.
Yeah.
And he was a big help to me working on the Lunar Rover book.
Yeah.
And he said, my summer's going to be pretty busy, but give me a call in August, and I'll sit down with you and talk. And he just gave me some fabulous information on that very fast rover program.
Yeah.
And so that rover, my rover book with a chapter on the Martian rovers and then the vision for space exploration is coming out this fall.
Mm-hmm.
So now that the all the grunt work on that is finished, I've started working on the proposal for this book. And that's why I'm glad I've had a chance to talk with you this evening.
Well, depending on how much detail you want to go into on the F1C stay, of course, Sonny is the right guy, and he can get you to others, you know, relating, you know, to the engine itself. I think his boss, Leland Ballou, who Sonny reported to, I think he is still living, but I'm not sure about his health situation. I don't know whether he or his wife, one of the two of them have some pretty serious health problems. I'm pretending to think it was his wife. I'm not sure on that.
Okay.
And on the S1C stage, I think there's two very key people that are still, I know, living. Bill Halsey, the one that I mentioned a moment ago, was for program control. And then the fellow that was in charge of the engineering is still living. A fellow by the name of Cal Blevins. You may find his name on that chart.
Cal?
Blevins.
Blevins.
S1C state. He was now. Do they identify people below the S1C?
Yeah. Well, they've only got two individuals under S1C stage project: Matt Erlob and R. Paetz.
He was the deputy. Paetz. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's deceased.
Okay.
Yeah. But Halsey reported to Erlob. He was the project control, kind of my counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
For budgets and schedules. And Cal Blevins was his engineering manager. They of course, have a tremendous amount of knowledge of the stage itself.
Okay.
If you want to go into more detail.
Okay, good. I do have a larger organization chart. It's not in front of me, but it's regarding the whole Apollo, Saturn V Apollo program, and it may be, they may be listed on that one.
Yeah, now, if you have an interest, I'd be glad to look in the phone directory and get you the telephone number for Halsey.
Oh, okay.
And perhaps even for Blevins. If I can't get the Blevins, then Bill could give you that name. If you'll hold just a minute, I'll
okay,
get
that'd be great.
That number.
Thank you.
This number will either be, there's two Cals here, and I remember bumbling into, running into this problem when I called him before. One of them is Cal, one of them is Son. So if you get the Son, just ask him for the number, okay?
Okay.
881-2256.
2256?
Yeah, and the other one, you can try it secondly, would be 881-1347. One of those is the senior, and the other is the son. And I'm sorry that I don't recall which is which, but I think the first number I gave you would be for Cal.
Okay. Okay, great.
All right.
That's terrific.
Okay.
I think that pretty much caps off all my questions here.
All right.
You've been most helpful and informative tonight. As I work on these chapters and transcribe it, interview comments and write them up. What I will be doing is sending you the rough draft. It won't be for some months yet, of course, but it's always my deal to do this because it allows people to spot any errors that I've made, but also to correct any comments that are made in context, and or they can add things that trigger their memory about some things that, by the way, you should include this information.
Yeah.
And that allows me to have basically an error-free draft because once it's in print, it's forever, as I say.
Right.
That's what I've done in my previous book, and that way I get my facts right, and also the people I interview appreciate it because they get to see their comments and so forth. So.
Well, I'd be happy to review anything that you send over to me. Let me give you my address because I would prefer... Of course, you can email it to me, but I really prefer working with hard copies.
Yes, that's great. Are you on the Cole Drive?
Yes, I am.
1018. Yeah, okay. I did a search first.
Okay, good.
And then verified that number against Conrad's information. So, I'll go ahead and when I do that, I'll make sure I mail it. I'll give you a call, let you know a hard draft is copies on the way, and then you can read it over. But
I'd be happy to do that. And if anything should, you know, additional come to mind that I could help you with, just give me a call. I'll be glad to try. I'm sorry some of these specifics have kind of slipped away with time. But
I think your recall this evening has been excellent. So
well, as we get a little older, it gets more difficult, as you
yes.
know. But okay. Anyway, it was a tremendous fun program to work on. I just could not have selected a more challenging and a more satisfying, you know, career than that. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Very demanding, but very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. One last quick question that's sort of related to this, but not to the book. I'm very much a believer in legacy engineering and legacy management in terms of mentoring future engineers, managers, and so forth, because I think that's where the lessons learned can be applied. Because where are these people coming up through the ranks going to get this? Are you involved with any efforts like
yes,
that?
Yes, I have been. You know, when I left the Saturn program office, I went into a new organization that was put together by Dr. Van Braun just before he went to Washington,
mm-hmm.
Preceding his death in 77. All of the programs, the lunar rover that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
that was the first program that came through this new organization that I was in. Dr. Van Braun and the person that he designated, Dr. Bill Lucas, you may have run across his name, who was, I guess, let's see, Dr. Reese succeeded Dr. Van Braun, then I think Dr. Patron came in.
Yes, that's right.
And then Dr. Lucas moved up from the program development director, this new business organization I was referring to. We all of the new projects at Marshall, the space station, the shuttle, the space telescope, the Chandra telescope, all came through that organization. And, you know, I not only had experience, you know, in the development of a couple of programs, but I also worked for about 12 years in getting, you know, from an idea, growing that idea into a concept and then into a preliminary design and selling the program up to Washington and on through the Congress. And then I moved up to the staff, the center director's staff, for several years, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, I guess, before I retired. But after that, I went into consulting business
mm-hmm.
and began teaching up at the NASA Wallops Center. And, you know, this is back to your idea. I had a chance to convey on, you know, to the new people coming into NASA some of the, you know, the techniques that we use, some of the things that worked well, some of the things that didn't work so well. And more recently, I've been asked to come out to the new launch vehicle system, you know, for the Mars and the lunar landing.
Project Constellation, or Ares 1 and 2, yeah,
yeah,
or Ares 5, I'm sorry.
To critique, you know, their engineering approach and their management approach to doing the job. Yes, they are making good use of some of the people.
That is very encouraging to me.
Well, it is, and you know, it was real satisfying, very brilliant people. In fact, I would put them equal to or greater than, you know, except for experience of the people on the Apollo program.
See.
They're very bright people, but very clearly short on experience. But their antennas were up, you know, during our critiques of the thing, and they listened very intently and, you know, accepted many ideas that we put forth to them. So, yeah, I think that is working pretty well. I know it, Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Because I know that... with the start of this new Constellation program and all the it's called the Systems Architectural Study for Constellation that
mm-hmm.
and all that's involved, many positive lessons to be learned from the Apollo program that will apply directly to this in many
Absolutely.
Ways. So I'm very encouraged that encourages me a lot. I'm glad
well,
to hear that.
It is working pretty well, and I certainly endorse your the importance you attach to that
mm-hmm.
because you just don't have to recreate the wheel every time you do something.
That's right. Okay. Well, thanks so much for talking with me this
sure
evening.
Thing. And good luck to you on your book.
Thanks so much. I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.